Right. And as those kids are headed out, was that not just like the coolest thing at the beginning of Easter service last week? If you were there, just to be able to be led by kids, by students, when usually roles are reversed, I just feel like that is like the perfect expression of who we are and who we want to continue to be as being this multi-generational church. So I don't know. I had an awesome time, and hopefully you got to see that as well. So as we kind of move into this next season, post-Easter, and ultimately like where we are as a church in this next season, today is a pivotal day because it's the start of something new, but it's also just one more faithful step in the ways in which God is calling us to faithfulness in this next season. And so this morning we are in this Vision Sunday, and just a few things as we start to think about this morning. For number one, for all of us, whether you've been a part of this church for a really long time, or maybe in the last 12, 18, 24 months, you've started to kind of find a home and find a community in this place. This has been something that God has been stirring and percolating for really a lot of us who were here back in December of 22 when there was a transition with Pastor Greg, and just trying to find out, like, who are we? Like, who are we as a church now, and who is God calling us to be in this next season? And then obviously in a lot of discernment and prayer and the ways in which I find myself here, it's coming up on 1 year next week that you have called me here, that you've called my family here. And again, just cannot thank you enough. I was thinking about this this week. Two of the most four important things that have ever happened in my life happened in this room. And if somehow we had a birthing center and both of my kids were born here, like four of four would happen in this room. Because Lauren and I got married in this space 10 years ago. But truly, like, you calling me and calling our family to this place has opened up this whole new season for us to obviously to relocate to San Diego, to be invested in this community, to be able to live in the place in which we serve, and to live and experience life alongside you. We're just so thankful. So I cannot just express that enough, that as we go into this new season, it is one that we are all going in together. And so I want to just talk about really the last 12 months. When you call a new lead in transition, we have a denomination that has so much infrastructure and so much support. They're not perfect, but they have opportunities for us to really think through, like, what do you do the first 12 months that you're at a church? And a lot of it is listening. And a lot of it is learning, and a lot of it is listening to one another. A lot of it is listening together what the Spirit is doing. And so I think we've done a lot of that this last year, of listening and discerning and deliberating, like, what is God doing among us? And so I want you to know that our vision that comes to the table today is something that you have been deeply part of already, something that you have had an integral part and a piece to play in the places and the spaces that we are now and that we are going in the future. But I also want to say that this is just really step one of what we'll talk about over these next several minutes. It's really just step one of where we're going in this next season. Really, the invitation that I want to put at the forefront of your minds is coming up in about 10 days, 2 weeks. We're going to call them Vision Roundtables, and it'll take place on May 4th and May 7th. It's really just an opportunity for us to get in the same room. There's two opportunities, a Sunday afternoon, or Sunday right after service, and then a Wednesday night, whichever one works for you, to get in the same room and to ask some questions together and to really discern, like, God, how are we going to make our vision just more than just words on a page or words on a flag or words on a bulletin or a website? Like, how are we actually going to embody them and live them out? Do you hear what I'm saying? And so May 4th and May 7th will be an opportunity for us. It's next Sunday and then the following Wednesday, right in the fellowship hall, to be around round tables, to be in discussion together, and to have some collective input in where we are going in this next season. And so as we kind of turn the page and move into the season, I want to make our vision something that is really accessible, but hopefully like after the next 4 weeks, like you go to bed thinking about it and you wake up thinking about it because it's so ingrained in your mind because you're sick of me talking about it, that it just becomes more of who you are. And so really, very simply in this next season, we exist to do four simple things. We exist to experience community together, to follow Jesus, to pursue purpose, and to impact lives. Like, everything that we have done up until this point as a church, and everything we will continue to do as a church, will revolve and will flow and will flow from these four simple phrases that will make up our vision to who we are and to who we are becoming in this next season. And so we want to dig into that just for a little bit this morning, and then we'll be able to really experience more of what that looks like in just a little bit. But before we do, like I'm so committed to having this be something that really shapes and reshapes our church and reshapes our lives in this next season, being more than just words on a page, but I know that like a catchy phrase or a really creative way to roll it out, which by the way, didn't Faith do an awesome job in that video? Like, it's so amazing to see gifts at play, but it will not happen without the power and leading of the Holy Spirit. And so before we dive into our text this morning, before we have any other conversation, I want us to just pause. And if you're comfortable and if you're willing, you just hold out your hands as just this posture of prayer as we pray together this morning, to just be this really tangible way to say, God, we want to receive from you. So let's pray together. God, we know in this next season that you have incredible things for each of us individually in our lives, that you want to do new things in our lives, that you want to break strongholds and move us into a new season of flourishing in life with you. God, we know that you have big things in store and planned for our families, for this community, and for this church. And so, Lord, we do not want to miss what you're about to do, what you want to do. God, what you have been doing for generations and generations through this little pocket of your faithful people called Claremont Covenant Church. And so, Lord, as we move into this next season together and really living into what you have given us to pursue relentlessly, God, I pray that you would go before us. God, I pray that you would be at the forefront of all we do. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would be what leads us. And Jesus, would you be at the center of it all? God, speak to us this morning. Give us ears to hear what you have. And God, move our hearts to become more like you. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen. So when we think about these four phrases or these four components of vision in this next season, very simply, again, we exist to experience community, to follow Jesus, to pursue purpose, and to impact lives. And so I just want to give like a 30,000-foot overview of each one of these, and then we're just going to talk about experiencing community for a moment. And then I'm going to preach for like 5 minutes, and then we're going to be done for today. Is that cool? So that's kind of where we're going for these next several minutes together. But again, we exist to experience community, to follow Jesus, to pursue purpose, and to impact lives. When we think about this experiencing community one, I'm going to just table that because that's what we're going to be talking about for most of the morning today. And for the next several weeks, specifically for the next 4 weeks, we'll just kind of walk through one of these four different parts to this vision of what we will be pursuing in this next season. But I want to start with follow Jesus. And you know, in this whole discernment process, really for the last 6 months, your leadership team that you have elected been affirmed to lead this church in this next season has been praying and fasting and deliberating and listening to you and listening to one another and ultimately listening to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that we came up with these four things. Like, if we're going to be about anything as a church, like, these are the things that we want to make sure are at the forefront of everything that we do. But, you know, if you are a teacher or a coach or a grandparent or a parent, you know that thing that they always say where you can't have favorites? Can't have a favorite kid or a grandkid or student? You know, like, if you're a teacher or a parent. Well, that is true. But in this regard, like, there's a clear favorite in the four components of what we are doing and pursuing in this next season. Like, everything that is and is to come is all about following Jesus. And so you can ask that question, like, why not just make that our big vision? Well, I think for a lot of people, like, the idea of following Jesus feels so foreign or so inaccessible, or like, what do I do? But I know what it means to experience community, and I definitely know what it means to pursue purpose in life. Like, giving us as a church on-ramps for ultimately people to experience life transformation is all that it's about. And for us in this season, following Jesus is integral and will be central to everything that we do, because as a church who keeps Christ at the center, every action, every decision, every desire that we have to impact our community or serve our neighbor flows from the love of the Father through the power of the Spirit and walking faithfully with Jesus to be people who desire to see the kingdom of God come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? And so that is what we will be in pursuit of in this next season. And so when we think about experiencing community and then following Jesus, there's kind of a flow to what we will be and who will be become in this next season. And so I want to talk just for a moment about this idea of pursuing purpose. In 2014, Lauren and I weren't even married. I was like a new youth pastor. I'd been a youth pastor like for 10 minutes. And so the church that I was at, they're like, hey, you should go to this conference because you're going to need some help, right? And so they sent me to this conference, of all places. It was in San Diego, California. So I was sitting there, like, as a young kid, like, just out of undergrad, like, trying to still figure out where God was leading. And the speaker in that moment, she was talking about just kind of the cultural moment that our society was in, but particularly the water that students were swimming in that season. And she said, if you really want to be an effective communicator, but if you really want to see life change in students, like, there's three questions that you always have to be considering. Like, these are the things that students are asking. She said, really, at the end of the day, students are asking this question: who am I? Where do I belong? And what's my purpose? And truly, like, for the last 12 years of my life, like, those questions have been in the back of my mind and really everything that I did as a youth pastor, but especially in this season for us as a church. But I want to go out on a limb and say, for most of us, those questions don't just get answered the day that you graduate high school or the day that you move out of your parents' house or the day that you get your first job or get married and you've got everything figured out. I'm going to go out on a limb to say that most of us, maybe we figure out career and calling, but we're always constantly asking this question: who am I and where do I belong? But I'm not even going to go out on a limb for this one. I'm going to say I'm pretty confident that each and every one of us, whether we're at the very beginning of a career or in the middle or at the end or wherever we find ourselves in the spectrum of life, that each and every stage of life we're asking this question: what is my purpose? What is my purpose? And I believe that if the church is not able to speak life and to speak direction and to speak hope into each of our lives as it pertains to purpose, then what are we doing as a church? What are we doing as followers of Jesus if we are not finding deep, integral purpose in life in following Jesus, regardless of the stage of life that we find ourselves in? And so again, in these next several weeks, we'll be unpacking these, but just one more note about impacting lives and the reason why we exist to impact lives. It's for you. It's for your family. It's for life change and transformation and hope and dreams and goals that we have as a church, but ultimately, impacting lives begin with you. And with me, with your life, and mine. And the cool thing is that it's so much more than that, that we're part of a movement of churches and a denomination that desires to see the kingdom of God come globally and have a global impact. And not only in our denomination, but our little pocket called Claremont Covenant, like we have so many partnerships around the world. On 6 different continents that we are in relationship with, that lives are being impacted. And for generations and generations since 1912, when this church was planted at 4th and E in downtown San Diego, it's been all about impacting lives. And for generations to come, 100 years now, when none of us will be here, this church, this pocket of faithful people in Claremont, San Diego, will always and forever be about impacting lives. Because ultimately, that is why the church exists, to draw people into relationship with God. And so for the next several moments, I wanted to think about this really simple concept. And we introduced it, I don't know, like 6 weeks ago, and it's kind of just been sitting there. But God's vision for the church begins with God's vision for you. And ultimately, God's vision for who we are and who we're becoming as a church, like, begins with you. And pushing that even a little bit further, that God's vision for you begins and ends in relationship. God's vision for you begins and ends in relationship, so much so that at the very beginning of the story of Scripture, at the very beginning of time, when God created humanity, male and female, there was this perfect relationship dwelling in the garden between God and humanity, between Adam and Eve. There was this perfect relationship that existed that God had intended for his creation. And because of sin, because of brokenness, because of the fall, that we have been separated and pushed away from that perfection of relationship. But the story of Scripture ends in Revelation 22 with this hope of a restored relationship in this new city, in this picture of what it means to be the people of God in right relationship with one another, but ultimately in right relationship with the Creator. And the story of Scripture is everything in between God intending that perfection in relationship and trying to restore that relationship between you and I as fellow human beings, but ultimately between humanity and God. And so just for a moment, I want to even unpack this a little bit more of a biblical framework for vision that is not just something that we as a church come up with a pithy statement or something to be pursuing in this next season, that our vision, our four collective components of our vision is actually part of a greater biblical framework of what it means to pursue vision as followers of Jesus. And very simply, we want to just introduce this. A biblical framework of vision has, I think, three components as we look at it in this season. Number one, there's this little prayer that Jesus has in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, where he's praying to God on earth, and he says, "Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You know, I don't know, maybe you like to think about vision or like to think about purpose statements of fast food restaurants or different tech companies or whatever. Maybe you're like not interested in vision at all. But if there was like a big picture, like 30,000 foot vision, like why in the world does the church exist? And ultimately, like, what is God's vision for humanity? It's this. It's this prayer that Jesus prayed, that the kingdom of God would come onto earth as it is in heaven. right? That connection, that fullness of the hope of relationship at the beginning and the hope of relationship restored at the end, that the kingdom of God would come on earth as it is in heaven. That would be like if God had a cosmic vision for what humanity is experiencing, but what this world would be moving towards, it would be that the kingdom of God would come on earth as it is in heaven. But then Jesus comes along and comes to the earth and comes to relationship with one and us, and he gives us this really simple way to live this out. In all of his interactions, in all the things that Jesus did, and ultimately the vision that shaped his ministry while being on earth was to simply love God and to love others. Like that was the simplicity of God's vision for humanity that was ultimately embodied and lived out in Jesus. And the way that he lived his life is to simply just love God and to love your neighbor. And then right before Jesus ascends into heaven and leaves leaves his disciples behind, he's having this conversation, and maybe you are familiar with this. I had a conversation with some friends even this week. Like, what if you were to sum up like the purpose of the church, like what would you say the purpose of the church is? And 9 times out of 10, like if you've read scripture, if you've been involved in church, like you automatically, and we jump to the Great Commission, right? We jump to the end of Matthew 28 in this moment where Jesus leaves his disciples. And it says, therefore, go and make disciples, right? Like if that's not integral to the vision of what God has given us as a church, then we're missing out. If making disciples who make disciples is not integral to our vision, then we're missing out. But there's this phrase, therefore, as you go, would be the translation that ultimately, like it is a goal that we're pursuing, but it is also a lifestyle that we adopt. Like, therefore, as you go about daily life, you're making disciples. Not this like distinction between I'm making a sandwich over here and then I'm making disciples over here. Like, everything that we do in life, therefore, as you go about life, you are making disciples. When you coach, when you parent, when you interact with your friends, when you're together on a Friday night or a Sunday afternoon or everywhere in between, like we are making disciples as a church, as a community, and ultimately as the hope of the world, as the Big C Church. Are you with me this morning as we think about this framework? And so I want to end on this thought this morning. There's this British psychologist, his name is Robin Dunbar, and he's done like a big study just about like community, about relationships, about what it means to experience authentic community. And so he kind of, after all these different trials and tests, he came up with this data where in life, just with the mental capacity of a human being, or specifically one mind, like we have the capacity to have approximately 150 like relationships. Like truly as human beings, whether you're super high capacity or you don't see yourself that way or whatever, like just the fact of the matter, biology, like we have the capacity for 150 relationships. And so I think about just this cultural moment that we live in right now, specifically for our students and our kids we're growing up in, but all of us that are swimming in this water, like how in the world has social media impacted this? Think about that, right? Like if we have only capacity, like we're maxed out at 150 relationships with work, with church, with family, with our neighborhood, like that is the scope of who we are. We're maxed out in 150 relationships. And yet he goes even a step further and says that truly we only have capacity as people to have somewhere between 3 and 5 meaningful relationships that we can truly maintain, where that person knows us deeply and that we are known deeply. Like we really only have capacity out of our 150 relationships to have 3, maybe 5 of those to be truly fulfilling in a way that I am fully known and that you are fully known. And so church, how in the world do we experience community in a way that the world is just so desperately after? Especially post-COVID, like if I had to sum up like one desire that I feel like we have as human beings, it's to just be connected, right? Like maybe you hear that, maybe you feel it in the longing of your heart. Like we just desire to be in relationship and to be in connection with one another. And if we're honest, like we find 100 different ways and avenues, and the world has found 100 different ways and avenues of social clubs and meetup groups and whatever that may be to fulfill community. But the unique thing about a Christian community, the unique thing about the church prioritizing experiencing community as part of our vision in this next season is so integral to the life and teachings of Jesus and ultimately Scripture. I'm going to land on this story. There's this story in Scripture. It comes in Mark chapter 2. It's at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. And Jesus, maybe you know it, it's the healing of the paralytic. And if you know it, hear it with new ears just for a moment. Where Jesus is in this big room. And it's in this house, this dwelling in this town called Capernaum. And he's teaching, and his influence is starting to grow. And instead of just being 12 people who are following him, and instead of just being a few people who kind of trickle here and there, like crowds are starting to form. And so you can kind of picture that, maybe even with the image behind me, but you can picture like Jesus was in this house one afternoon, one evening, teaching to all these people, to this fully packed out house. But across town, there were three different friends who had a fourth friend who was not able to walk. He'd been paralyzed for, we don't know how long, Scripture says. But these three friends, they'd been hearing about Jesus. They'd been hearing about who this Jesus is, and they said that if we can just get our friend into the presence of Jesus, that maybe something will happen. And so I kind of picture it like maybe you were this person in your friend group in high school, that crazy kid who, hey, I got an idea. You know the kid, right? And so you can kind of picture it like someone had an idea to say, what if we could just carry our friend on the mat across town or across way, or we don't really know how far it was, but if we can carry it and go through the front door and just place our friend down in front of Jesus, like what would happen? And so that one friend had that idea, and so they all get their friend on a mat and they carry him to the house. But the problem is the house is so full, right? Because Jesus is starting to have all these followers and people who are curious and interested. And so you got that other friend, maybe it's a different person, maybe it's the same person, but he's like, hey, I'm not going to stop for nothing. If we can't get through this door, we're going to find a way to come in. And so if you know the story, where do they go? They go back behind the house or up on top of the house and on top of the roof. And so the scene is set. There's people inside the house, and there's the three friends and the one friend that is paralyzed up top. And the people inside are intently listening to Jesus because he's saying things about the kingdom of God, and he's saying things about what it means to be a follower of Jesus that they've never heard before. And all of a sudden, there's some dirt or some stuff that's falling from the sky. And so they don't think anything of it. Oh, it's just another earthquake in San Diego, whatever it is, right? And so they start to look up because it starts to come more and more and more. And all of a sudden, it's just not dirt and thatch that's falling from the sky. There's someone that's being lowered down into the room right in front of Jesus. So put yourself in that situation. You're an onlooker. I feel this story when I tell it. You look at the person on the mat. And then you look at Jesus. And then you look back at the person on the mat. And then you look back at Jesus. Like, what is he going to do? And if you know the story, he just does something so simple. He says, take up your mat and walk. And then the person takes up their mat, and the person who is unable to walk is able to walk. But the crazy thing about that story had nothing to do with the faith of the person on the mat. It had everything to do with the faith of the friends. Like if you go back and read Mark 2, it says that Jesus notices the faith of the friends, and that is what heals. That power of the faith of the friends is what heals this person who was not able to walk and then is ultimately able to walk. And so church, very simply this morning, How does that give us a mental picture of what it means to experience community together? I think it moves us to ask two very simple questions. Number one, who is carrying your mat? Like when things go wrong and life feels like it's just falling apart, like put yourself in the situation, like who in this story that Jesus is living that we read 2,000 years later, like who is the one that's carrying your mat? And maybe for some of us, you've been part of a church for a really long time, and maybe for others, you're just still trying to figure out like what it means to be part of the church. But the question just begs us, like, who is carrying your mat? And ultimately, like, what picture of community are we pursuing? And simultaneously, we can't answer that question of who's carrying your mat without this simple question that comes in addition. Whose mat are you carrying? Whose mat are you carrying? The grammar switches a little bit in there. W-H-O-S-E. Whose mat are you carrying in the sense of like, who are you being that person when life goes crazy and everything falls apart? Like, who are you going to be to someone who needs it most? And I know I've only been part of this community, and I know that there's been a lot of seasons of really high highs and of really low lows of all of us in this room, where we've experienced some incredible breakthroughs of God's faithfulness, but we've walked through some really, really hard times together. And without the church, without the hope of the church, like what does it actually mean to be in relationship if we're not pursuing true and authentic community? And so, church, this picture of this interaction of the friends, that it is because of the faith of the friends that healed the person is our framework for experiencing community. But you and I both know that the most of life is not the high highs and the low lows. Most of life is just the everyday mundane, making the sandwich or making the phone call or talking with a friend or going on a walk or going to work or cooking a meal. Like, most of life is found in the simplicity and the ordinary. And so may this just be the framework that comes alongside this picture of the friends carrying their friend on the mat. These words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians. It says, because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. This picture of hope, this picture of what it means to experience authentic community. And so over these next several weeks, we'll continue to explore, like what is this vision that God has given to us to pursue in this next season? And again, quite simply, and hopefully you can already start to rehearse it in your mind, or when you see it on these new banners that we have, or when we put up on the wall, like it doesn't just be words written, but they're words that shape and reshape our lives, that we exist to experience community, to follow Jesus, to pursue purpose, and to impact lives. Amen? Would you join me in prayer? God, very simply, we want what you have for us in our lives, in our families, in our homes, in our relationships. We want what you have for us because you have the best intentions for your children. And Lord, as we go about this next season of discerning and re-envisioning and seeking and pressing into what you have for us to pursue, God, may you be at the forefront. And through all of this, God, may this community that is already just a beautiful expression of authentic community, of experiencing life together, may it just continue to be that. May it continue to be this perfect picture of what it means to be in relationship with you. God, thank you for your faithfulness. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, Amen. Normally in the service, this is where the band would come back up and we'd have a song that would kind of send us out of here. But here's what I want to do. I want to invite Luke up. Hopefully you got to meet Luke. Luke is going to be our new summer pastoral intern. He technically started today, even though his job doesn't begin on May 18th, because he was already prepping stuff together for some strawberries and stuff for acai bowls and cold brew. But here's our invitation. Here's our response today. Church does not just end when we leave these chairs and go into the world. Like, church continues in our patio time. And so, well, I don't know, we got like 5-10 minutes where we've talked to Kids Crew, Kids Life. You parents, you don't even have to go pick up your kids until like 5 after. You just got like a little time to just linger. Like, maybe even just take a breath or go get some cold brew or an acai bowl or whatever it may be, but just as one tangible way that we can just experience community together. And so that'll be the way that we end today. And so as we do, I invite you to just stand. Come May 18th, we'll be able to bless Luke and to pray over him. And we had a number of different parents that were involved in interviewing him and kind of getting to get to know him a little bit. And so we'll have time to be able to really get to know Luke for a little bit. But he will be the one, alongside some of our high school students, serving acai bowls, serving cold brew. So, I don't know, drop by the table and get to know him a little bit as you leave today. And so, church, as we enter into this next season, together, may we go and find true, authentic community as we experience community together. And so this week as you go, would you find that in the places and spaces that God sends you? Amen. Amen. Would you go in peace? Go enjoy acai bowls and cold brew. Thank you.